Welcome to Mets Clubhouse Confidential. This is Rich Catino on a Sunday in which we're getting closer and closer to the start of spring training and the start of pitchers and catchers reporting in a week or two. And when you look at what the Mets have either done or not done, depending on your take this offseason, I think tonight is now a good time to take a look at this roster and see how much better it is than last season. And before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about last season and how the danger of evaluating anything that occurred in last year's 60-game truncated schedule. And I think the other part of it is that you had pitchers last year getting ready to end the season for a 60-game season. And they had two distinctly, segmented spring training sessions, and yet they had to get ready for the season. And then you have them all preparing now for what looks to be a 162-game schedule. At least I think that's the plan Major League Baseball has right now. And that the season would start on time, meaning the season would start on April 1st for the Mets in Washington against the Nationals. We saw those schedules come out. We saw the spring training schedule get tweaked a bit. And things are set to go. The one thing that hasn't been decided, or hasn't been decided that it definitely won't occur, is that universal DH, which I think is an important aspect to analyzing not only the Met chances, but the rest of the teams in the National League, their chances. It was an interesting week. Looks like Justin Turner re-signing with the Dodgers. It looks like some other free agents have begun to get closer to the teams that they're with. And Met Twitter has had a week in which they don't understand what the Mets are waiting on certain things. We're going to talk a little bit about that and talk about the fact that what the Mets already added is more than what most teams have added. And we'll be back with that in a moment. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do. And those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in. Say hello to John for me. Tell him Rich sent you. And whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. A great place to watch sports too. As the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment. And on the sports side, you get your Met stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway. And how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, thenewyorkextra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. I want to talk a little bit about what the Mets have added in this offseason. And, You know, I think third base became an issue this week because there was talk about Justin Turner. There was talk about Chapman. There was talk about Bryant. There was talk about trades. And a couple of things that I think misconceptions that I just want to clear up about what went on this past week. One, first and foremost, if David Peterson is asked for in any trade for a big superstar coming back, like a Chris Bryant, understand that that's not something the Mets will entertain for the most part. I say for the most part because unless another pitcher comes back in a deal like that, like let's use the Chris Bryant as an example. I was hearing that they were asking for David Peterson, and it's smart for the Cubs to ask for David Peterson. He's a pitcher that showed some stuff last year. He's a pitcher that has a great upside. He's a pitcher that was a high draft pick of the Mets. So, but that being said, if the Cubs were ever to entertain that, they would have to entertain the thought of giving the Mets back more than Bryant, like a pitcher, and or taking a big contract off the Met payroll. And the three big ones right now that I think we all take a look at is, you know, Familia, Betances, and yes, Robinson Cano. Those are all three big contracts that I think in the next, you know, part of this season and even at the trading deadline, the Mets may look to move. And they certainly would like to move Cano's by the time we're at this point next year, talking about the 2022 season. So those are all things that, you know, have to be entertained. But third base is an interesting situation because the Mets have a third baseman. And he's a darn good player. J.D. Davis. And, you know, I went back and forth with people this week because everyone was trying to compare what the Mets had done to their roster and comparing it to the 2020 season. And I think some of that is a pertinent analysis. But to me, I look even more at the 2019 Mets that were in the mid-80s in wins. And a lot of the core of that team is on the 2021 roster, and they've added additional players. They've added two pitchers in the bullpen, in Loop and May, that I think will contribute heavily to the bullpen. And we'll get to more of the bullpen later when we talk about the Seth Lugo injury, which occurred this weekend. But I think that, you know, one of the things that I try to do is compare what they did in 2019. Take a little of 2020 in the mix, certainly in cases like Dominic Smith and how he progressed. But then take the 2019 team and add these people on the roster. Now, in fairness to Wilson Ramos, he had a good year in 2019. In fact, no catcher in the National League had more RBIs than Wilson Ramos. Defensively, he had his shortcomings, and I think they really came to roost in the 2020 season and came more of a way of looking at it because he wasn't hitting and that the Mets had to make a move in the catching position, which they did. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do. And those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in. Say hello to John for me. Tell him Bridge sent you. And whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. A great place to watch sports, too. As the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it, St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment. And on the sports side, you get your Met stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway. And how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, thenewyorkextra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, you know, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. Now, I hear people on SNY, and I hear people screaming and yelling that the Mets haven't gotten any free agent acquisitions on the top tier. And in an exact setting, that's correct. They didn't get Springer. They didn't get Bauer. They didn't get Real Muto. And those are considered three big ones. But to me, the Mets got the best available player in terms of talent in Francisco Lindor in this offseason. I don't think anyone has obtained a better player in terms of where I would rank them in Major League Baseball. I don't think anyone's gotten a better player added to their roster than Francisco Lindor. You know, when you look at this Met lineup, it's downright scary to face. And if there's one word that I would use to describe the Met lineup as it stands right now, it's unrelenting. I mean, you have guys that are going to hit for high batting averages like Lindor and like McNeil. You have great RBI bats in Dominic Smith and Michael Conforto and Pete Alonso. You have the complementary bats, and I think they're more than complementary bats, in guys like Brandon Nimmo and J.D. Davis and James McCann, who are going to contribute heavily to the makeup of the team. But if I'm an opponent that's looking at the Met lineup, you can't look at them at lineup and say, I just don't want this guy to beat me, because there's tons of guys that can beat you. In Jeff McNeil, the Mets have a budding batting champion. In Francisco Lindor, overall, they probably have the best defensive hitting shortstop in baseball and one of the top five bats in baseball. In Pete Alonso, they have a guy that broke home run records, and he hit his share of homers last year, but not at the pace that he was hitting it in 2019, but this game's all about adjustments, and I expect him to make that adjustment. You have Michael Conforto, who, to me, is one of the top 5, 6, 7 bats in the National League, and you have to put Dominic Smith there, too. Now, without the DH, you got to find a way to get Dominic Smith at bats, and I really think that the way the Mets are probably going to do it, and the way I would do it if I were them with this lineup, and this makes the lineup even deeper because whoever's not in the lineup that day becomes a bench player. I think you'll platoon Brandon Nimmo and Almora in center field. And I think you platoon Dominic Smith and Jose Martinez in left field. And you may mix things around a little bit. There may be days where J.D. Davis isn't going to play third. He's going to play in the outfield. And you might put Guillermo at third. There'll be days when you might want to rest Michael Conforto and use any of the other acquisitions, you know, they came up with, including Villar. Like, there's a lot of options for this team's lineup. There'll be even more options if there's a DH. But I do think that it's unrelenting. If you think about a lineup, and I'm just going to throw this out, this isn't necessarily how I see the lineup going in 2021 when the season opens. But you might want to think about having, let's say you're facing a right-handed pitcher. You might want to think about having Brandon Nimmo lead off and then Second in the order would be Francisco Lindor. And then third in the order, you can even put Pete Alonso, followed by Michael Conforto or Dominic Smith in the four spot. You could put James McCann and J.D. Davis' right-handed bat in the five and six positions if you want. And, you know, utilize them as well. And you just have a great way of, you know, putting bats in the lineup. And then late in the game, defensively, on the days that Dominic Smith or Jose Martinez is out in left field, I think if you have a lead, you, let's say Brandon Nimmo started the game in center, you move him over to left and, you know, put Al Mora in the game in center. If it's a game where Al Mora started, you leave him in center and you take either Smith or Martinez out of the game in left and put Brandon Nimmo in left. So there are ways you can protect leads with defense late in the game, and you can do it by keeping everyone fresh in the lineup, and that's going to be important. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute, but first I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do, and those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in, say hello to John for me, tell him Rich sent you, and whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. a great place to watch sports too, as the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment. And on the sports side, you get your Met stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway, and how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, thenewyorkextra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house, at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, you know, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. The Mets also have some defense that they've overall have improved on the team, and I think the press has missed this whole boat. They're better defensively behind the plate than they were a year ago. They're obviously better defensively at shortstop than they were a year ago. They are obviously better at second when Jeff McNeil over Robinson Cano than they were a year ago. And they're obviously better in center when Al Mora is out there. So they've improved the team defensively. And now I want to get to the pitching. Because if there's one thing we've learned about the history of the Mets, when they have won pennants or they have won world championships, yes, the hitting's been good and the defense has been good, but the fulcrum of the wheel has always been pitching. And this team is not different from that. As good as this lineup is, and I think it was good last year, and I think it's even better with the addition of Lindor this year, it's really going to come down to the starting pitchers you put out there. Not only how well they pitch, but how deep they can pitch into a game. And then how your bullpen reacts. And right now, when you look at the Met rotation, I think the top four spots on the rotation are locked up. In DeGrom at one, Stroman at two, Carrasco at three, and David Peterson at four. Now, the five spot is interesting because I still think they may add someone. They could look for an Odorizzi to put into that spot. Or they can take someone they have now like Lucchesi. Now, the Seth Lugo injury gives them less flexibility because he was someone that they could have considered for their fifth starter spot. I do think they probably were going to have him in the bullpen rather than in the rotation. But that flexibility is gone. It hurts the depth of the bullpen, and it also hurts the options you would have for that fifth starting spot. And let's all not forget that Noah Syndergaard is scheduled to be back sometime in the middle of the summer. I would say probably around the All-Star break is a safe bet. And, I mean, he could replace a Lucchesi in the rotation. You could see how things are going. He could replace Peterson. If Peterson isn't pitching well, maybe put Peterson in the bullpen. But I do think that he will have a factor in this season come post-All-Star break. So I do think that it's almost like the Mets are going to acquire a pitcher at the break without having to acquire any additional money for that pitcher. So this starting rotation is good. First of all, when you have a starting rotation where the best pitcher in baseball is at the top of it, that says enough about how good you are. But guys like Carrasco and Stroman, I mean, Stroman, adding him in, you know, we sometimes forget that he could have been a free agent. And if he was, other than Bauer, he might have been the most desired starting pitcher on the free agent field. So to me, the Mets got in adding to this roster. Now, Stroman was on the roster last year, but he was in a walk year, accepted the arbitration money. I shouldn't say arbitration money, the money that you, pending free agents can get. And if they don't accept it, teams get a draft pick. He accepted the deal, which I figured he would. And you could sit here and say that other than Trevor Bauer, he might have been the most attractive starting pitcher out there. So now these people that are criticizing what the Mets have done in the offseason, understand this. They added in the top offensive player that was available in the offseason, and they added in the second best starting pitching arm next to Trevor Bauer in the offseason. Now we move to the bullpen. And in the bullpen, last year I thought that Familia and Betances were disappointments. But I thought that, you know, Edwin Diaz showed the flashes that he's capable of showing. I think he benefited a lot from being around Jeremy Hefner. And I think that that growth will continue. But when you add a Trevor May and an Aaron Loop, you add two important cogs in your bullpen. Loop is a left-handed specialist, but he's more than that. He gets right-handed hitters out too. And Trevor May, to me, when I look at all the bullpen guys that have been added around, the Mets added Trevor May pretty early in the free agent marketplace. And it was a brilliant move because I would say Trevor May was no less than one of the top three bullpen arms available in the offseason. So now what we have is Sandy Alderson and his team got the number one offensive available player in the offseason, probably got the second highest available starting pitcher, free agent-wise, in Marcus Stroman, and probably pulled in no less than one of the top three free agent arms in Trevor May. And Aaron Loop I put much further down in the depth chart for relief pitchers, but an important cog in it. He also added Jerry Blevins to a minor league deal, and I think Blevins can still get left-handed hitters out. So that's an arm to watch as the Mets put this bullpen together. And I don't think they're done with the bullpen. I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, the latest news I'm hearing on Justin Wilson is multiple teams are interested in him, including the Mets. And if you have a bullpen of Edwin Diaz, Trevor May, Aaron Loop, Justin Wilson, then you don't necessarily need Familia and Betances to come back. Maybe you more need one of them to. And that's a more realistic blueprint for the bullpen. So when I look at what the Mets have done in the offseason, they've improved the bullpen, they've improved the rotation, and they've improved the offense. And I don't know how many teams have done all three of those things in this offseason. Maybe the Padres have. The Dodgers certainly brought in a great pitcher for the rotation, and they re-signed Justin Turner, so I might have to put their name there. The Yankees clearly haven't done that. And, you know, speaking of the Yankees, with Paxton signing with the Mariners, not only did the Yankees have to trade who they felt was one of their top pitching prospects in Sheffield, who, you know, had a pretty good season. I don't know if I'm saying a great season with the Mariners, but he had a promising season with the Mariners. And now the Mariners end up getting back Paxton. Now, the media decided they were going to give bouquets of flowers to Brian Cashman for doing that with Aroldis Chapman. And we all know Aroldis Chapman has had a brutal Yankee career since that signing in terms of, you know, big games where he's given up big home runs and not just the playoff games. I remember a game against the Red Sox a couple of years ago where he gave up home run after home run when the Red Sox and Yankees were fighting for seeding and positioning, which became important when the Yankees ended up playing the Red Sox in the first round. So all of this has to be taken into consideration. Now, would Trevor Bauer have made the Mets even better? Absolutely. Would George Springer have made the Mets better? Yes, he would have this year made them better, but I don't know what it would have done to the possibility of re-upping Michael Conforto. And that has to be thrown into the mix here. And also, to me, if the Mets re-up Michael Conforto and Francisco Lindor, which I think they will, I think they'll talk during spring training and try to get something done with both those players. But automatically, when you think about it, they would have folded in two of the top free agents that would be available next season, should they not re-sign. And then they also have to figure out what they're going to do with Noah Syndergaard, but I think that decision is going to come much later in the calendar year when they actually see him pitching. So when I look at the Mets, I say to myself, you know, and all the fan graphs people and all the predictors have come out and said that the Mets are the favorites in the NL East, and I have to agree with it. Now, I do think that a lot of them are underrating what the Atlanta Braves can possibly do, because the Braves are a multiple division winner. But what we might see is we might see a repeat of what we saw in the late 90s, early turn of the century baseball in the NL East. The Mets and the Braves are the two top teams, and one of them's going to win the division and one of them's going to get a wild card. And I have a feeling we might see some of that, and we might see some outstanding Met Brave games during the season that depict the two top teams in the NL East. And this might become a rivalry again, like it was in that time frame when there was Chipper and Rocker and Piazza and Ventura and Leiter and you know, all the guys that, you know, were big players on those teams became a big rivalry that, you know, in some ways was as good a rivalry at the time as the Red Sox-Yankees was. So I do think that that's where I see the division going. I think the Phillies have improved their team in certain areas. They certainly re-signed Realmuto. They've added to their pitching. And I think that they'd be the third team I'd rank in the NL East. But I rank them closer to the Mets and Braves than I did a month ago because I think they've added some pieces that I think will help them. The Nationals added some pieces as well. But from an offensive standpoint, they're going to have a tough time without the DH. Maybe a tougher time than the Mets will have without the DH. Because they got some real substandard defensive players at first base and Kyle Schwarber. And they got to figure out whether they could withstand players like that defensively the whole year. I think with the DH, they were probably planning on having Schwarber DH, which is a position made for him the way he defensively plays. I think their starting rotation is good. I think it's almost as good as the Mets. Not quite as good, but I think it's right there. And they've added people into the bullpen, you know, including Brad Hand. And, you know, I think that, you know, those things can really help them. So I do think the Nationals, though, have some defensive and lineup issues, which is why if I was ranking the teams in the NL East right now, I'd rank the Mets and Braves 1-2 and very close to each other. The Phillies at 3. The Nationals a little further back from the Phillies in the 4th spot. And the Marlins in the 5th spot. But I'll tell you right now this about the Marlins. We all know they made the playoffs last year and they won some games. They got some talent in their pitching staff as well. So there's no automatic cluster of wins with the Marlins. And I'm not saying that just because of how they played last year in a truncated season. I'm saying that because they're building up a pitching staff with guys that have good stuff and throw hard. And that allows you to be able to win with less in the lineup and maybe a little bit less in the bullpen. But from an overall team standpoint, I think the Mets have a much better overall team when you take the offensive bullpen and the pitching together than anyone in the NL East. And I think they have a better mixture of that in the National League than every team except the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are going to be in their fight a little bit in their division because the Dodger-Padre rivalry is going to really start to cement itself. And some of those pitching matchups are going to be great. You know, Trevor Bauer going up against, you know, the top pitchers in the Padre rotation, including Yu Darvish. And I think that, you know, those are all things that I think are going to come to the forefront and be able to, you know, be great games. But I think the National East will be a very competitive division. I think the Mets are a 90-plus win team, but I think the Braves are too. And I think both the Phillies and the Nationals are a mid-80s win teams. So that's a close cluster of a quartet of teams. And it's going to make for some great baseball in 2021 season. The best division in the whole sport, to me, from top to bottom, without question. We'll be back with more on the Mets, and we'll talk a little bit about the Seth Lugo situation right after this. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do. And those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in, say hello to John for me, tell him Bridge sent you, and whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. a great place to watch sports too, as the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment, And on the sports side, you get your Mets stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway. And how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, the NewYorkExtra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house, at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, you know, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. The Mets got some bad news from the injury front over the weekend, and that was Seth Lugo. And to me, in a lot of ways, Seth Lugo in the last 2 years has been overall the most consistent bullpen pitcher the Mets have had, if you take everything into consideration, in the 2 years of time. He spent some time in the rotation last year, too. Wasn't as successful in the rotation as I thought he might be, but certainly, you know, gave the Mets some flexibility by being able to start as well as relief. And he's going to have surgery this coming week. Apparently there was a cluster or a mass that kind of, I guess, a bone spur kind of got separated from the elbow, and he was getting some pain in there. They took an MRI, and they're going to have the surgery now. Once the surgery is done, they're going to not have him pick up a baseball for 6 to 8 weeks. And then at that point, a throwing program and almost like a spring training. So I got to think that means we won't see Seth Lugo pitching for the Mets at the earliest 12 weeks from now. And that takes you into the middle of the summer. And I would think that the absolute earliest we can expect him to be back is mid-May. And I think realistically it's a lot closer to mid-June. So the Mets have to figure out what they're going to do. Now, the good aspect of this, and I don't mean the good aspect, but the aspect that will be interesting is come mid-season, when teams are thinking about what they want to do with the trading deadline, the Mets have two acquisitions that are going to come in automatically, and that's Seth Lugo and Noah Syndergaard. And those are two big additions. One can help the rotation, the other can help the bullpen. And I think that it's important to note that, you know, even if the Mets make no deals at the trading deadline, they're bringing in two fresh arms, and arms that probably won't be as tired come playoff time as guys that have been in the bullpen all year, guys that have been in the rotation all year. I think it's something that, you know, nobody wants to see Seth Lugo miss 12 weeks of baseball preparation and or baseball games. But the arm will be fresh and hopefully rehabilitated, as will Syndergaard's. And I think that's important to note as we progress into the season and see where the Mets are in the divisional and playoff races. So very important to note. Meantime, though, the question is, what do the Mets do in the meantime in the bullpen? They've lost a big cog in the bullpen in Seth Lugo, assuming he would be in the bullpen, and I think that's where he would have been to start the season. So I do think the Mets need to look at what's out there in the bullpen arms and free agency, and most notably Justin Wilson, who I think would be great to have him back. You would then have two left-handers in the bullpen in this division that is completely laden with left-handed hitters. I mean, it gives you two left-handed pitchers you can deal with Freddie Freeman. It gives you two left-handed hitters you can deal with Bryce Harper. It gives you two left-handed hitters that you can deal with Juan Soto. And when I look at those left-handed hitters, they are great hitters in this division. And you might want to have two left-handers come out of the bullpen to give them two different looks when you need to get big outs late in the game. So I do think that that's going to be interesting to see how that all transpires. But Justin Wilson, to me, is someone that I would circle and highlight and want the Mets to bring back. The other thing is he's proven that at times, if you need him to, he can close games. And he'd be another guy out there along with Edwin Diaz and Trevor May and even Familian Betances that have closed games in their career. You had another pitcher out there that, yes, can lead you up to the closer, but can also, on those days when your pitchers are spent or have pitched a couple of days in a row, can insert them in the closing role, and they'll do fine. Justin Wilson's proven that in a Met uniform, and I think that, you know, it would give them another arm to do that. Now, what it will cost for Justin Wilson to come here, who knows? I don't think he's going to come here on a one-year contract. I think it's going to at least take a two-year deal, and I think that that has to be negotiated out. So I do think that that has to be figured out by the Mets. And then people say, well, what happens when Seth Lugo comes back? Do you have too many arms in the bullpen? Let me tell you, you can never have too many arms in the bullpen. Not the way bullpens are used in today's baseball. And I think that, you know, again, it's a good problem to have, and you worry about it when it comes to fruition. But in the meantime, I think you go out and you try to get another bullpen arm, you know, to get out there. Now, they can possibly, at times this year, have three lefties out there if Jerry Blevins, who they signed to a minor league contract, pitches well enough and gets to the big leagues for them. So there's definitely some flexibility that they have put into the organization. And who knows, when Syndergaard comes back, maybe Lucchesi goes in the bullpen. You don't know what the situation's going to be at the time these guys get back. Who's going to be pitching well? Who's going to have some minor aches and pains? Usually these things take care of themselves, and everyone worries about them far too much. So I do think that they will assess that. But the loss of Lugo's tough. He's performed very well for the Mets in whatever role they've given him. But I do think he's been better in the bullpen. And I do think that, you know, they're going to miss that arm in the bullpen. But it's almost going to feel like they made a midseason trade when he comes back, wherever they decide to put him in the pitching staff. So I think that, you know, that's kind of where we are. And just kind of getting back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, this notion on Met Twitter, every time a player signs on another team, it's like, why didn't we get him? Why didn't we get him? Well, there are reasons why you don't get certain players. Now, listen, Trevor Bauer decided to take, you know, he could have gotten more money from the Mets, but he wanted to go to L.A. I totally understand that. I totally understand why him and his agent played it the way they did. They have every right to do that. And that was the situation. The Springer deal is a little more complicated because you're signing him at age when in the back half of that contract, he may not be able to play center field. You may have to put him in a corner outfield position. And then that maybe mitigates how much you'd be willing to pay Michael Conforto, knowing he'll be at a certain age and you can't put him in center. You can't just flip the two players. So, and you had to make all these decisions not knowing whether the DH would be in the National League in 2021. I certainly think by 2022, it will absolutely be a universal DH across both leagues. But this year, right now, there isn't one. And they could decide it at the, you know, tail end of spring training. I know the National League teams would love to have it in spring training, so they're going to utilize the DH anyway in those games that they play. But I think that, you know, come the regular season, it's important to know whether the DH will be there. I talked about earlier in the show how for a lot of teams in this division, the DH is real important. You know, even for a team like the Phillies that, you know, are going to want to get JT Realmuto some rest during the season, but they would love to have that option of having a DH so they could play him as the DH and not have him squat behind the plate for nine innings and it's almost like a day off. Same thing with the Nationals. They have defensive deficient players that they might want to put more in DH roles like Kyle Schwarber. And I think for the Braves too. The Braves have Marcell Ozuna. They're going to put him in left field every day with no DH. I think they would prefer at times to put him in the DH role and get someone else in left field. So these are all things that are going to affect the division in terms of it. And it's hard to think about it because we had the DH last year, but, you know, the Met pitchers can hit. Jacob DeGrom can hit. Syndergaard can hit. I haven't seen David Peterson swing the bat, so I can't really tell you whether he can hit. I know Carrasco hasn't hit in a long time because he played in the American League where the DH was, you know, throughout his entire career. But the Mets have some players, pitchers, that can hit in that ninth spot in the order. I still think they would prefer to have the DH, but I'm sure that, you know, we may see a dinger or two from Jacob DeGrom if the pitches are hitting in the National League. And the other thing I want to talk about is third base and J.D. Davis, and we'll talk about that when I come back. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do. And those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in, say hello to John for me, tell him Bridge sent you, and whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. A great place to watch sports too, as the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment. And on the sports side, you get your Met stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway. And how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, thenewyorkextra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house, at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, you know, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. You know, I heard a lot this week from Met fans about J.D. Davis. And again, his offense last year got off to a slow start. He picked it up as the season went on. But in 2019, J.D. Davis, from an OPS standpoint, was amazing when the Mets played home games at Citi Field. He was amazing in the clutch. He was amazing with runners in scoring position. And we saw some of that in the last month or so of the truncated season last year. He's got a good bat. He swings a good bat. You could put him in all different places in the order. You could put him at the top of the order. You could put him in the middle or even at the bottom. You can put him anywhere in the order and he will produce. So offensively, I don't worry about him. And everyone's like, well, what about the defense at third? Well, he's got a great arm, and I just think he's got to harness that arm a little bit. But I think the problem he had was not so much on ground balls or line drives that he was catching. It was the throws to first base. And I think one of the things I've always been told by coaches is when players with a strong arm have an inability to keep their throws accurate, it's footwork that you have to work with. And I think he has to work with the footwork. I think he has to work at, you know, being able to get that ball over to first base in an accurate setting, even if that's taking something off the throw when he throws it. And we saw Daniel Murphy have to deal with this, you know, in his Met career, and once he figured out that second base he could play a little deeper and the throws became more accurate, I think that he became a better commodity for the Mets, and we all know how important he was to the Mets offensively. J.D. Davis has a tremendous bat that hits to all fields, and I think that if he starts the season at third base, I'm fine with it. I think that he can perform at a high level. I think over 162-game season, if he's playing every day, I think he can give you 20 homers and 80 to 85 RBIs, hitting 280 and above. And I think he can do that on a consistent basis. And I think that one of the things, third base is too, it's very much a reactive position. And he has good reactions in getting to the ball. The defensive problem has been him throwing the ball. And I think that's a much easier thing to correct than not having the range to play the position, which to me he clearly has. Now, would Justin Turner or Chris Bryant been an upgrade over J.D. Davis? Yeah, they would have been. But at what cost? And in terms of Bryant, what cost of players you'd have to give up too? And to me, they still have a representative bat and a player at third base that can play the position. Now, getting Villar and having Guillermo on the roster will help, because in the late innings you might want to replace him at third when the Mets have a lead with any of those players. Also, you know, boy, the Mets got some added speed into the lineup with that acquisition. So I do think that, you know, there are things that, you know, the Met bench is much better than it was a season ago. Whether there's the DH or whether there isn't. I mean, when you think about it, you know, if you have Dom Smith in left and Brandon Nimmo in center and a right-handed pitcher is pitching, and late in the game the Mets are trailing and you bring in a left-handed, you got plenty on that bench. You got Jose Martinez on that bench that you can come off with on that bench. That's a big right-handed bat that can really help you out. So I think that, you know, they may add more pieces to the bench too, but there's definitely some pieces on that bench that can come in and give you a big hit. And if there's no DH, those pieces become even more important. You know, I think that if you're platooning Dominic Smith and Jose Martinez in left, and you're platooning Nimmo and Almora in center, I think whoever's not playing is on the bench, and those are pretty good options for Luis Rojas to have coming off the bench. But my main point in this last segment of the show is that J.D. Davis is not just a fill-in guy. J.D. Davis is a guy that can play every day, and I think his offensive numbers, if he plays every day at third base, could become all-star worthy numbers. That's how good an offensive player I think he is. And I think there's far too much of, you know, we didn't get Bryant, we didn't get Turner, what are we going to do at third base? What are you going to do? You have J.D. Davis at third base. And on the days he's off, you can move things around and maybe put McNeil at third base on those days. There's tons of things you can do to kind of make it work. And I think that they have some ideas in mind who else they're going to add for depth. They may add another outfielder for depth. They may add another middle infielder for depth. They may add, you know, bullpen stuff for depth. So I don't think the Met roster is totally complete, but I do think the way it looks now, it is a 90-plus win roster. We'll be back with more of Mets Clubhouse Confidential in a minute. But first, I want to talk to you about two of my most favorite things to do. And those of you who know me know this is the case. One is talk sports, and two is eat great Italian food. And I'm going to send you to places where you could do both of those things. First of all, the eating of the Italian food. St. John's of Arthur Avenue in Portchester, on Westchester Avenue in Portchester, right off the 287 Parkway, right up to Westchester Avenue. Go in, Say hello to John for me. Tell him Rich sent you. And whatever it is you like. If you like Northern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you like Southern Italian cuisine, it's a great place to eat. If you're more of a seafood eater, if you just want a slice of pizza, you want a nice Italian hero, or I'll call it as he calls it, a hoagie. a great place to watch sports too, as the restaurant has an addendum to it now that has a sports bar in there that can watch sports all night long. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And if you're home and want it delivered to your house in this pandemic world we live in, stjohnsofarthuravenue.com. You can order it online and it'll be at your house before you know it. St. John's of Arthur Avenue. And of course, talking sports. We all love to do it. Anyone who's listening to this show loves to do it as well. And one of the great places to hear about sports, to read about sports, is the number one sports website in New York, thenewyorkextra.com. But it does far more than sports. It covers news and entertainment. And on the sports side, you get your Met stuff from me on it, but you also get so much more. You get coverage of the Knicks and Rangers seasons as they've gotten underway. And how the Jets are going to, what they're going to do with that second pick. In fact, in the coming week, me and Len Robbins are going to have a fierce debate as to what the Jets might do with that second pick. So, thenewyorkextra.com. Log on to it now, and you can talk sports. And if you're doing it from your house, at the same time, order food from St. John's of Arthur Avenue. You get a great Italian food in your home, you know, pandemic-free, and you're able to read about sports. TheNewYorkExtra.com and St. John's of Arthur Avenue, a duo that's very hard to beat. Next week on Mets Clubhouse Confidential, we'll be closer to the start of spring training, and we'll start talking about in detail the four or five questions the Mets have to answer in spring training to get themselves ready for a 2021 season. And it will be a season in which the Mets will be a major player in playoff races, and I think they'll be a playoff team come the end of the year, because this lineup and this roster is a 90-win roster. Now, you had a similar roster in the last full season the Mets played, which was 2019, and that was a mid-80s win team. And now you've added Francisco Lindor, you've added Trevor May, you've added James McCann, you've added, you know, Carlos Carrasco. I think those additions are at least worth four or five wins in the standings to make this a 90-win team. And I think, actually, if you were going to pin me against the wall and say how many wins I think the Mets will have, I don't know if it'll be over 95, but I think it'll be closer to 95 than 90. So that's the kind of win total I see from this team. And mark my words, this will be the most wins the Mets have had in half a decade as a team by the end of the 2021 season. So we'll talk to you next week. We'll talk to you on those questions in spring training, and maybe we'll take an even closer look at some of the competitors in the Mets division and see what they have to offer. That's about all the time we have for now. Stay warm, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next week on Mets Clubhouse Confidential.